Well, there was once before when I was going to give a message, I forgot my notes and had to go back home and get them. Well, today's a little different.
You got the notes.
I don't have notes. So I can't go home and get them. However, let's go to the very first verse of the Bible. It happens to be one of my favorites. And one that I think of often, because it really speaks to me and is such a foundational verse. Mm. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I've mentioned this a number of times, that in that one verse, everything about life is given, the foundation of everything that pertains to life. You've got time, you've got space, and you have matter. And then you have life. Life came from God. But one of the things I find so interesting that in this verse, it tells you there is a God, and He is the one that created time. Can anybody else create time? Now, they tried to change time, and they tried to figure it out, but there is no changing of time. Or space, and of course when it comes to matter, you know, there are those man-made elements. They're not really man-made. They didn't start with nothing. They started with 120 other ones or some number of like that. But if ever there's a verse, and there are a number of them, that speaks of the sovereignty of God, it's that one verse. And if a person doesn't believe this verse, then the rest of them aren't going to mean much to them.
Amen.
But they can even believe this verse, but go off into error afterwards. And it is somewhat interesting that between the first and second verse, there aren't one to put millions or billions of years between them. I don't. I don't at all. I believe there was the first day, and there's going to be a last day. And that day, that first day, was a 24-hour day.
Mm-hmm. I believe that's true.
So, you know, my eschatology is, well, there was a first day, there's going to be a last day. I don't know when that is. I tend to think it's very close at hand. And as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, numbering from Adam, or counting from Adam, we are in the year 6066. Now, a number of years ago, and I don't know exactly how long, it's been since I've been here, attending worship here, that I started to do a study on the word glory. And I remember having about 7 or 8, or maybe more than that, somewhere around there, different categories for the way that word was used. And I remember talking with Brother Paul about it, and he brought something to me that I had not really considered, and yet it has been so interesting, and I've been thinking about it ever since. It's difficult to describe God with just a word. It's difficult to there's so many different doctrines in this Bible. in this Word of God. Of course, they all pertain to Jesus Christ, who is God and is a man. And there's nobody, not John Owen, not Jonathan Edwards, certainly not me, can explain all that or understand that. I believe Brother JT touched on it earlier. These things are so above us, so far above us, and the fact that we have all sinned. Praise be to God that He has blessed us. Remember, we read that in the song.
Yeah.
If your iniquities or your sins are forgiven, you're a blessed person. That's a blessed person. If you fall down and break your leg and it heals, that's not a blessing. That's certainly good, but that's not really a blessing. The blessing is your sins being forgiven, because
Amen.
If your sins are forgiven,
Amen.
You will have fellowship with God now and in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Exodus chapter 33. And this is what Paul brought up to me. And so often when I think of the glory of God, it means to me, in short, that He is God. If He is God, and He is God, He is sovereign. He does what He will. And the nature of God is that everything He does, everything He wills, is for His glory. It's in accordance with His, how would I say it, His nature that cannot change at all. And so in Exodus 33, remember, you know, Moses is going to lead the people out of Egypt and into the promised land. He was the man whom God chose.
Yeah.
And he wanted to see God's glory. And so what did the Lord do? Verse 19. And the Lord said, He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And we know, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. The grace of God is not something you can wrestle from God. He gives His grace to who He will. Now, I do know that in this day, I think it's been going on since before our generation, people hope in the mercy of God. But they just hope in that. They have no foundation for it other than they know God is merciful. Well, He is merciful. He's not merciful to everybody. Just as I, you know, the person who breaks his leg and gets healed. That's not the mercy of God. Some would say it is. I don't. I say that's the goodness of God. God's mercy is reserved for those that He saves. And He saves them because they can't save themselves. They're in a fix. We're all in a fix.
Amen.
And it's God who makes that decision. And He didn't wait until creation to do it. It happened before creation. Who can understand that? Well, if you don't believe that first verse of the Bible, then you've got a problem. And that's these scientists, these nuclear physicists. There's other names for them. they understand gravity. They don't really know why it's there. They have an understanding of it, and they attribute all this phenomenon to that gravity working on space, pulling together. Where'd the mass come from? I don't know. I don't know. But that you know, gravity is a thing, and there is a thing. There is such thing as gravity.
Yeah.
But where did it come from? Well, in the beginning, God created. That's where it came from. They just, like JT was saying, they just don't want to believe that.
Right.
They don't want to believe that there's a power higher than them, and that power obligates them for worship. They're just not giving them.
Yeah.
And now, in this year 6066, well, I'll take it back, 6066, where the last generation wasn't passing down to the generation that's here, it's not passing down to the next generation, these things of God.
Yeah.
And so there's no fear of God before their eyes.
Right.
All their thoughts about God are their fables. And there's no worry. No worry. You can take care of this. And that's what I thought. That's exactly what I told the two guys on that submarine. I gave them theology. Couldn't take long to do it. Thank God. The guy's name was Paul. Thank God he said, Bruce, why don't you meet me later on? We'll have a little talk about this. Praise God, because that is what began my journey. Now let's go to Romans chapter 9, and we're going to read what we just read again, only it's a little different. And how people can, I do know how. Jesus gave parables talking about this very thing. Isaiah mentioned it. You know, they're going to hear, but they're not going to hear.
Yeah.
They're going to see, but they're not going to see.
Right.
And there was a reason for that. And it's because the door to the temple was shut on them. And what an absolute blessing it is for those of us who worship God and love Him and love each other. And it's all because He did it. And you can forget trying to find out why He did that, other than the fact that He did it. And maybe in eternity we will know. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think anybody does know. So in Romans chapter 9, and it is, it's an amazing chapter.
Yeah, it is.
As is the whole book. I mean, some would say that it's the apex of the New Testament scriptures, and maybe so, but reading verse 11, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any, look at this, good or evil. That was the fruit on the tree, was the knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
I've been thinking about that for a couple of days. But that the purpose of God according to election, boy, people hate that.
Oh, yeah.
They hate that word. And to me, it's amazing that, you know, nobody has a problem. They still refer to, you know, the Jewish people as the chosen.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have a problem with that. The Egyptians weren't chosen. The Assyrians, you know, Palestine, they weren't chosen. but the Jews were. But you come into the New Testament scriptures and you start talking about election or chosen, and they got a big problem with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, that just isn't right. That just, you know, God's mind, it's not fair. You mean I don't have a choice? It bothered me.
He said, give them all a chance.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I
can remember being on the lane of work back when I used to walk to work. And one of the questions people would throw at you is, well, what about those Africans that never heard the gospel?
That's one of the best things they try to go with that.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah, right, exactly. And guess what? You don't have to go to Africa.
That's right.
You might go to the Fifth Ward in Houston or Watts District of Los Angeles, and it's just as dark there as it would be in Somalia or some other place in Africa.
Or First Baptist Church downtown.
Well, okay, that's true. That's true. It's like, oh, you go to church? Oh, that's nice. Oh, what church is it?
Baptist.
No, that's not nice. I mean, it could be worse for you going to that church than it is to be staying at home.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, I believe it.
And I actually thought about this yesterday, and maybe it was mentioned here. Well, it has been mentioned, you know, the blind leading the blind. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening. And a lot of, especially these big churches. Now, if there's a person in that church building who belongs to God, he will lead him out of it. He's done that to every one of us that's here. Every single one of us.
Yeah.
Everybody I know, but maybe one or two people who were brought up in a sovereign grace family, and that's what they knew. Of course, they still had to be born again.
Yeah.
God still has to regenerate them, has to open their eyes line upon line.
Mm-hmm.
I remember struggling with that, and by the grace of God, I no longer do. In fact, here the last week or two, I've spent a lot of time reading about the providence of God. Right now, I picked up one of these free grace broadcasters, and it's on the decrees of God, I believe, or the decree of God. I can't remember the exact title, but I've read about three short messages out of it, and it's such a blessing. It's so comforting, so assuring to know that God is holy and righteous in every single thing that happens in this world. The leaves falling from the trees.
Mm.
You see a squirrel out in the middle of the street. That's of God. I don't understand all these things, but I attribute it all to God and know that He has a purpose. We're not going to change it.
Right.
I'm concerned about the economy. I'm concerned about what's this new COVID-19 Delta, and some of these other. I'm concerned about that, but not to the point that it's going to affect my health or necessarily change my plans.
Mm-hmm.
I do think about this. I kind of learned this from hanging around Paul. Any organization that's of man will fail eventually. the Southern Baptist Convention started out with a good idea, so by kind of a good idea, good men, but it was a myth. It's not the church. And look where they're at today. Look at the Methodist Church today. Look at all of those groups.
Yeah.
Look at our Constitution in this country. Nothing wrong with it. But look at us today. We're failing. It's not a bulwark like this is. And they sure have tried to change this. I mean, it's my understanding that since the Revised Version, or Revised Version, some people refer to it as, there's been 1,000 different translations. Some of them kind of minuscule and not very common, of course, but constantly changing it. And I'm amazed. In fact, a lot of people will call a book the Bible. Okay. It's a Bible. NIV is a Bible. The New American Standard is a Bible. But it's not the Word of God. This, in English, is the Word of God. If you can't read Hebrew and Greek, and I can't, I can just read it in my mother tongue, which is English. This is the Word of God in the English language. Now, if I could read Hebrew and Greek, I would do that. Now, and what preceded the King James 1611 was a Spanish Bible. It was, about 10 years before that. So, and I don't know much about it. I just know that preceded the King James. So getting back to Romans chapter 9. So when you read that 11th verse, I mean, I don't know, the people who reject election, who reject predestination, who reject the fact that salvation is of God and God only.
Mm.
I don't know what they do with a verse like this.
They say, we can't understand that, so we ought to let it alone.
Well, I did hear one man say, and this is mentioned twice in Scripture, let's see, verse 13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Well, they said, hate in that doesn't mean hate.
Yeah.
He just didn't like him as well as he liked Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not true at all.
No.
I mean, I don't need to know what the Greek word for that was. Those guys who did this were pretty intelligent men. Yeah. And my guess is that when they were looking up in their Hebrew grammar and their Greek grammar, they weren't reading what the word meant in English words. They were reading it in Greek. The whole thing was Greek.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, I mean, I had a Greek lexicon. Well, okay. But I was reading the definition of the word in English words. If the scriptures originally would have been in English, you'd have italicized letters and whatever translation it was being translated into. That's just the nature of language.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's important enough that God preserved it.
Yeah.
Let's go to verse 18. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he
pardon.
God does that.
Right.
God is the one that does that. You can't browbeat somebody into being a Christian. You can't shame them into being a Christian. You present the gospel. That's being called.
Yeah.
if you're hearing it, you're called. But if you don't respond to it, you're not chosen. Many are called, few are chosen, and that's true. Always has been. Always will be. The gospel, and that's another interesting point, that Abraham was saved by the gospel. Enoch, prior to the flood, was saved by the gospel. The gospel did not start with the life of Jesus Christ on this earth. The church didn't start at Pentecost. The church was back before the flood.
Right.
It's not new. I was thinking about this the other day. There's nothing new under the sun. Just look at what's going on in the world. People have been fighting and stealing and cheating and committing adultery for 6,066 years.
And they still are.
Well, you're right. Yeah. If we get to next year, it'll be 6,067. I mean, it's just going to be that way. And yet, God is sovereign. And he is bringing to pass his purpose and his plan.
Right.
And it is. He's given his son a patron, a bride.
Right.
And then the son is taking that kingdom and giving it to the father.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's wonderful. It really is. I mean, there's so many mysteries. There's so many things we don't understand about this, but we do know, we believe this book, what's going to happen here in Texas? I mean, you know, they're talking about leaving. I hope we do. Is that going to do anything for us? They finally went to constitutional carry. I'm grateful for that. Is it going to make a difference? I don't know. I can't remember where it was I was reading this morning, but we do have hope. We hope in God's mercy.
Mm-hmm.
We do hope for it. I mean, I'm hoping I don't get COVID-19. I'm hoping that when I leave here, I get over to the house. I hope every day I get from the house to work and then come back. I hope that. Not everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and isn't that kind of interesting? Everybody's caught up in this COVID-19. And they don't want to take chances. They want you to be vaccinated. They want you to have a mask and do the antisocial thing of social distancing. But yet, we're about, okay, I'm going to drive to work. You know, I'm going to take a chance. It's the same thing. You don't know that you're going to, how many people plan on getting in a fatal accident on the way of life? Nobody. Or going to Walmart and getting shot by some disgruntled employee, or you go to McDonald's and somebody didn't get enough salt on their french fries so they go ballistic. Is this crazy or what? I mean, and all these things that are happening like this are happening because God is bringing it back. It's the providence of God that's doing that. It's the providence of God that Joel found a tailgate in a hood in the right color.
He did a lot of search on that.
Just the fact that he could do that search.
Well, it was pretty amazing. That it really wasn't that much searching, really.
There'll be some other things that won't be as easy.
Right. There's plenty.
Right. I've been thrilled when I got home this afternoon. I'll be reading some more out of that Free Grace podcast because it's so interesting to hear what other men have said in the verses that they pull together to show that, you know, what we are seeing in time, was decreed before Thomas.
Yeah.
And I personally take a great comfort in that. I don't worry about a lot of things. I hear a lot of people, you know, at work talk about this and that, and it just doesn't mean a whole lot to me. It's because God has opened my eyes to not only the unchangeableness and the steadfastness of His Word and His goodness, His mercy, and His grace.